It's an honor and a privilege for me to sit out with you this morning, to have my dear friend Robin Stuber share the word with us this morning. You're in for a treat. I've already heard it once, and I've got my pen ready for the second time because I'm sure there'll be more that I glean from Nehemiah 1 this morning. But I want to pray for our dear sister. Let us pray. Almighty God, maker of heaven and earth, I am so grateful that we can come to you in prayer, in song, in worship, in confession, in brokenness, in times of joy, in celebration, in times of mourning and grief, that you are the God of yesterday, today, and forever. And I thank you that today is a day that you have set aside for us. And I am grateful for the word that you will give to us through your servant Robin. And I pray, Father, you would now open our ears and our hearts and our minds and our souls to receive all that you have for us today. For we praise you, we give you glory in the name of Christ. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Bill. That truly was a beautiful, beautiful rendition of the Lord's Prayer. Thank you. It was just really touching. Today is Prayer Sunday. And Bill has been so gracious to let me be the one that gets to share with you some things about prayer. And I'm going to be sharing from the book of Nehemiah, one of my personal favorites. And, you know, Nehemiah, the story of Nehemiah is embedded in the story of the people of Israel. We all have a story. He had a story. The people had a story. And it's right in the middle of this story of the people of Israel that Nehemiah rises up and chooses to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. You know, his life wasn't perfect. My life's not perfect. Your life's not perfect. And each and every one of you have a story that God is in the middle of, calling you to rise up, calling you to build, calling you to bring something new into your family, into your church, into the nation. So when it is a story and there are things going on in the story, we often wonder what God is doing. And when we were working with young people in the ministry of Young Life, we would often have them write a timeline. Even though they were only 14, 15, 16 years old, we'd say, write your story on a piece of paper, like a timeline. Show us the heights. Show us the depths. Show us where you think God entered in. And I bet if I ask you, what part do you think was the lowest for them? I bet you could tell me. What do you think was the lowest point on almost every kid's timeline? What part of their life? Middle school. Middle school, high school was always the lowest point. And I'd say that to share because I am so impressed with what our friend Thomas and Allie and the others that are working with our youth here in this church are doing. They're encountering kids at their lowest point, and they're helping them learn how to rise up and build with the lives that God has given them. So if you see Thomas or Allie or any of those leaders, just say, good job. Because you know what? They're building the nation that's going to be sitting here in a few years. They're rebuilding the ancient walls so that we can have another generation at Grace of Christ. You know, Nehemiah was called to rise up and build. And his story is set down in the middle of a very hard time for Israel. Living in Jerusalem, the people had been taken into captivity by the Babylonians. And actually, there were three times that the Babylonians went into the city of Jerusalem, captured the people, and took them to their land. Three times they were taken into captivity. Three times God called people to go back to the city of Jerusalem and build. Nehemiah is a third rebuilding project. And he is called to rebuild the walls and hang the gates. So let me read to you chapter 1 of Nehemiah. My husband Don said, Robin, you're not going to teach on the whole book, are you, today? I think he was worried he'd miss something later on in the day. But I said, no, just I am going to read the whole chapter of Nehemiah 1, though. So follow along with me in the New King James, Nehemiah chapter 1. This is the story. The words of Nehemiah, the son of Hakaliah, it came to pass in the month of Chivlev, in the 20th year, as I was in Susa, the citadel, that Hananiah, one of my brethren, came with men from Judah. And I asked them concerning the Jews who had escaped, who had survived the captivity, and concerning Jerusalem. And they said to me, the survivors who are left from the captivity in the province are there in great distress and reproach. The wall of Jerusalem is broken down, and its gates are burned with fire. So it was when I heard these words that I, Nehemiah, sat down and wept and mourned for many days. I was fasting and praying before the God of heaven. And I said, I pray, Lord of heaven, O great and awesome God, you who keep your covenant and mercy with those who love you and observe your commandments, please let your ear be attentive and your eyes open, that you may hear the prayer of your servant, which I pray before you now, day and night, for the children of Israel, your servants, and confess the sins of the children of Israel, which we have sinned against you. Both my father's house and I have sinned. We have acted very corruptly against you and have not kept the commandments, the statutes, nor the ordinances which you commanded your servant Moses. Remember, I pray, the word that you commanded your servant Moses, saying, if you are unfaithful, I will scatter you among the nations. But if you return to me and keep my commandments and do them, though some of you were cast out in the farthest part of the heavens, yet I will gather them from there and bring them to the place which I have chosen as my dwelling place for my name. Now these are your servants and your people whom you have redeemed by your great power and by your strong hand. Oh Lord, I pray, please let your ear be attentive to the prayer of your servant and to the prayer of your servants who desire to fear your name, and let your servant prosper this day, I pray, and grant him mercy in the sight of this man. For I was the king's cupbearer. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for your word. I just pray today as we dwell on this prayer of Nehemiah, that you would remind us, teach us, refresh us in our life of prayer. For Lord, you have called this congregation to be people of prayer. So I thank you for these guidelines and these incentives. May we follow you today, Lord, in everything you say and everything you do. In Jesus' name, amen. So here's Nehemiah in the middle of it all. And he's doing his job. He's the cupbearer to the king. He's just moving along in his little life. He's in Babylon at this time. He's not in Jerusalem. He's in captivity. Very important job that Nehemiah had. Being cupbearer to the king, I think you all know this, but that meant that he had to taste the food and drink the wine before it was given to the king in case an enemy had poisoned it, Nehemiah would die first, and then the king wouldn't drink that wine. I don't know about you. I don't drink much wine, but a little bit of wine sometimes, and I feel like I'm going to die sometimes too. But it was kind of a place of great position, very highly trusted, obviously, to be the cupbearer to the king. Many of the people living in Babylon from Jerusalem did not want to go back. There had been three movements to go back. They'd rebuilt the temple in Ezra. They had done a little bit of work in restoring people, but they still hadn't really restored the city of Jerusalem. I don't know how many of you have been to Jerusalem. I had the awesome privilege of going there. It's a fascinating city. It's a fascinating city. All three major religions are represented in Jerusalem. The Jewish religion, the Islam religion, and Christianity are all there together inside these walls. It's very intense. It's a very intense place. And it was a place that God had ordained as his dwelling place in the Old Testament. Now we have, through Jesus and his death and resurrection and the giving of the Holy Spirit, we now are like many Jerusalems. All of us are a dwelling place for the Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. And so think of your life like it's a Jerusalem. like it is Jerusalem. But Nehemiah gets this word from his friend that the walls have crumbled, the gates have burned. And it struck him to the heart because he loved his city just like you love your life. It was bad news and it broke his heart. What do you do when you get news? Good news or bad news? Usually when we get good news, we're just, you know, it's pretty good. But when we get bad news, what do you do? You know, the phone rings, you answer, and on the other end is my daughter saying, you know, Luke's been in a car accident and we're at the ER and can you help and can you come? The walls are crumbling. The gates are burning with fire. And if you're like me and I'm like you, then many of us do not do what Nehemiah did. We don't often go to God first. That's why I love this prayer. That's why I'm bringing it to you today, is to remind myself, to remind you, go to God first. When you hear news, go to God first. If it's good news, go with thanksgiving and praise and joy and, you know, worship. If it's bad news, go to God with thanksgiving that no one else was hurt, that Luke wasn't hurt. Go with praise that God was there and helped him out. Go to God first. This is the message that Nehemiah has to say to us. And it said that he started with fasting and prayer before the God of heaven. You know, it's translated from a Hebrew word, Elohim. Elohim is a word that means this is like the God over everything. The God that is so big, he can cover heaven and earth, can cover everything that you need and everything that I need. He is Elohim, the God above, the God of heaven, the great and awesome God. That's the God you want to go to in prayer. You want to go to the God above, the God that can see from the 35,000 foot perspective, the God that can show you only what he knows and you don't know, the God of heaven. Nehemiah's decision is to start there. He starts with prayer, and he starts with prayer to the God of heaven. Do you need a word from heaven today? I needed a word from heaven. I needed God to tell me what he saw, what he thought, what he wanted to do. This perspective only he can give to your bad news, your good news, your news is where we start. It's the first stone in the foundation of prayer. Because Nehemiah is going to go on and do a great task. He's going to build the walls and gates of Jerusalem in 52 days. 52 days. He builds the entire wall of Jerusalem. He and the people that are there and the people that he gathers around him. That is a huge task, is it not? And yet he doesn't sit down, first of all, with plans, drawing up the blueprint, calling out for all the supplies, encouraging the people to join him. He doesn't start there. He starts with the foundation of prayer. Grace of Christ, you are a praying church. You are a praying church. We cannot rise up and build until we've prayed. You cannot move forward in those places that God is tapping you on the shoulder about until you have laid the foundation of prayer. And in this first part of Nehemiah's foundation stone, it accessed his heart. I realize that it's easier for me to pray about the things that touch my heart. Don't be afraid to let your heart go out. Don't be afraid to let your heart break. What's in your heart that you want to take before the God of heaven today? This is the first stone, the first foundation. Go to the God in the heavenly realm, the great and awesome God, Elohim, with your news. Secondly, Nehemiah reminds God, a very short little part in this prayer, but it's so important. He reminds God of his character. He's reminding himself too, by the way. But he says in the next couple of verses, he said, and I said, I pray, Lord God of heaven, O great and awesome God, you who keep your covenant and mercy with those who love you and observe your commandments. Now, embedded in that little short line is a lot. Because Nehemiah is saying, I see you're the God of keeping the covenant. Now, to the Jewish people, this was so important. Covenant to them was everything. It was relationship. It was the bargain. It was the we will and you will. Right? But it was even more than that. It was embedded in the love of God for his people and the response of love from the people. Nehemiah wanted to remind God that he was more than just a good idea, that he was more than just someone who could show up and help, but he was the great God of love for his people and mercy. Who is God to you? Who is God? What do you think of when you think of God? What comes to your mind? What comes to your heart? You know, in the nighttime, what is it about night? Maybe this doesn't happen to you, but this always happens to me. Night is like the time when all the what ifs come up. All the worry comes up. All the fear comes up. So I'm going to bed and I'm thinking, well, what if Luke's car never gets fixed? What if Luke doesn't have a car? What's going to happen to him? How is he going to get to work? Who's going to take him to work? And if he doesn't get to work, then he might lose his job. And if he loses his job, he's going to lose his new apartment. And if he loses his new apartment, he's going to be back living with us. Does that ever happen to you? Like you just start it and all of a sudden you're down the road and you're just lost in your worry. You're lost in your fear. You're lost in your confusion and the what ifs. Well, Nehemiah stops that train on that track by rehearsing who God is. So I started something new in my life. When I'm in that space of spinning, I've started to say who God is out loud and to myself. I've started to say, well, God is the protector. God is provider. God is savior. God is friend. God is good. God is the one who shows up. God is capable. God is bigger than me. God can do it. God is in the middle of it. God is faithful. God is awesome. God is a covenant keeper. God has mercy. This is what Nehemiah is doing. He's remembering and rehearsing the attributes of God to remind God and to remind me who I believe. So we're going to do this prayer Sunday. So we're going to do a little exercise. Don't freak out on me. It won't hurt. We're going to say all together, and you can whisper it real quiet if you want, something about God. We're going to say God is, and then you're going to fill in the blank. And we're going to do it about 5 or 6 times. So I'm going to give you a minute to think about some attributes of God. And we're going to do it all together, all at the same time, all out loud. Thumbs up on this? Well, I didn't see too many thumbs up, but we're going to do it anyway. Okay, so here we go. Ready? 1, 2, 3. God is. God is. God is. God is. God is. God is. The great and awesome God. Remember that. It's the second stone in the foundation of prayer to rehearse the attributes, the character, the qualities of God. Bill Johnson has a quote that I love. He says, "Do all you can do, and then let God do what only He can do." Do all that you can do, but then let God do what only He can do. I know each and every one of us have situations in our lives that there are things that we have to do, and we need to participate. But in every situation, there are things that only God can do. Only God can do. Let Him do what only He can do, the great and awesome God. That's the second stone in Nehemiah's foundation of prayer. The third stone in Nehemiah's foundation of prayer is his confession. It goes like this. It starts with, "Your servants, and confess the sins of the children of Israel, which we have sinned against you. Both my father's house and I have sinned. We've acted very corruptly against you and have not kept the commandments, the statutes, nor the ordinances which you commanded your servant Moses." The third stone in the foundation of Nehemiah's prayer is confession, which, thank you, Donna, that was a beautiful exercise of confession this morning. I like what Eugene Peterson says in The Message. He translates those words like this: "We've treated you like dirt. We haven't done what you told us. We haven't followed your commands and haven't respected the decisions you gave to Moses." I'm going to change that a little bit and type it out and put it on my refrigerator for my grandkids to read when they come through. "Grandma, we've treated you like dirt. We haven't done what you told us. We haven't followed your commands. We haven't respected your decisions. But you're grandma, so it's okay, right?" That's about what it'll be. You know, confession is an interesting thing. We need to acknowledge not only our sin, but the community's sin. And it's not just about what we've done. It's about the fact that we haven't believed. We haven't believed in all that God could do. We haven't thought God's thoughts. You know, we've even maybe put Him down in places by saying, "Well, I don't know if God's going to come through this time." You know, people, Jesus on the cross took all our sin, covered it all with the blood, put it all behind His back. But confession is more like putting ourselves in a posture of receptivity. Confession is saying to God, "You're God and I'm not." Confession is really saying, "Here I am, and you know it all, and I bring it all, and now I receive what you have for me. Forgiveness, covering, love, mercy, grace." I think Bill taught us a few weeks ago where he said, you know, grace is getting what you don't deserve. Mercy is holding back what you do deserve. And God has done both. Jesus came full of grace and mercy. So we acknowledge that before the Lord. We say, "Yes, you're right. I'm not exactly doing things your way. I'm not exactly lining up with all of your plans. And so I'm here to listen. I'm here to receive." So in that posture of confession, I would just like to invite you again to take a moment of silence, not necessarily to rehearse before God what you've done. We had that opportunity, but to receive. Just put yourself in that posture of saying, "You're right. I didn't do it your way. Now, what do you say to me, Lord?" So bow your heads with me for just a moment. Here we are, Lord. We acknowledge that we have treated you like dirt at times, and we haven't followed your ways. But Lord, would you just come to us again today with your grace and your mercy and refresh our souls. You're so good, God. Thank you. That when we put ourselves in that position of receptivity, you always show up. Thank you. Amen. So the third foundation stone that I said here was that he confessed before God his sin, the sins of his people, the sins of his nation. I get very concerned sometimes that we, the people of the United States of America, often take the posture of knowing it all, having it all, being it all. And because of that, we don't call out to the God of heaven enough to say, "Here we are. We've made some great mistakes." Many of the things that God wanted for this nation have crumbled. Many of our gates are burned with fire. We no longer pray in schools. We throw the unborn away. We fight among ourselves. We build barriers between races. We point at people and say, "You're in and you're out." Just a few things. But it's enough to be before God on our knees saying, "Have mercy on us, O God, as a nation." This nation was also built on the foundation of prayer, as was this church, as hopefully is your family. So people, just an editorial comment. When you're before the Lord, take the nation, your nation, our nation. Put it before the Lord and say, "Lord, line us up again with your ways. Line us up again with what you have ordained for us in this great land we call America." So he confessed, and when he was done with confession, he was free then to remember God's promises. That's the final stone in the foundation of prayer, is remembering God's promises and remembering to God that these are his people. I love what Nehemiah says. He says, "Now these are your servants, your people, who you've redeemed by your great power and your strong hand." We need to remember what God has promised us as people, as individuals, as families, as a church. And we need to remind him that it's his responsibility. Because he's called us. We are the called out ones. Do you understand that because you sit here today in this church, in this building, that the community of Yakima sees you as the called out ones? The ones separated unto God's purposes. That's how they see you. I hope you see yourself that way. Because that's what Nehemiah is saying in this last foundation stone. He's saying we need to pray back to God his promises and pray back to him his word. He actually quotes the word of God when he says, "If, as you said to Moses, if you go away, I'll bring you back." That was a promise that Moses gave the people. So he was actually using the word of God to pray. You know, when you don't know how to pray, just open your Bible and start reading the words. I love the Psalms. I've been doing that in the Psalms lately. I've been like opening the Psalms and then I just start praying. Whatever it says. You know, even Jesus on the cross, what did he pray? Psalm 22. My God, why have you forsaken me? Jesus knew his Bible. He knew how to pray the Bible. He knew how to pray the word. We need to keep remembering to remind God of his promises in his word. You know, all of this is just meant to be a pattern for your prayer. And I'm going to give this illustration of one of my grandkids because I think it kind of encapsulates all that I'm trying to say. So this is what happens. This isn't a specific incident. This is kind of a combination, but this is what happens. I come into the kitchen and there's a big mess on the floor. Grandkids are over. I say to them, "Who's responsible for this big mess? Do you see the walls have crumbled and the gates are burning with fire right here in the middle of the kitchen?" And they're all like, kind of trying to remember what they're supposed to do. And the smart one usually pipes up and says, but Maymay, you're my grandma, so, it's okay, right? Because you love us really a lot, don't you? You remember that? You remember how much you love all of us? And you're the grandma and you're not going to ground us or anything, right? And their hearts start to melt as I say, "Yes, it's okay. We can clean it up together." And then the heartfelt one, I do have one that has a heart, he'll step forward and he'll say, "I'm sorry, Maymay. I did it. I did part of this and I'm really sorry. And will you forgive us? And will you please forgive us, Maymay?" They call me Maymay. And then the oldest one will usually say, "Because after all, you promised that when we came over here, we get candy and popsicles. And so it's going to all be okay, right? Because that's who you are. And we're just reminding you that you told us that we'd get good stuff over here. Remember?" That's just a little illustration to help you remember the four foundation stones of prayer. First, appeal to the God of the heavenlies. Appeal to the God, the great and awesome God. The great and awesome God who can do what no one else can do for you. Then secondly, bring him down into your news by reciting his attributes. Bring the heavens to earth by saying, "You are. God is great, awesome, loving, kind, long-suffering, faithful, kind, good." And then third, say to him, "But I get it. I haven't done it all right. And neither has my people, my peeps. We've got a ways to go. So have mercy on us." And then the fourth thing is to go back to the word of God. "For you will never leave us or forsake us. And you will be with us even to the end of the age." Call upon the Lord in these four ways in your prayer life, and you will be able to do what Nehemiah did. You'll be able to rise up and build. In chapter 2, after all of this is done, Nehemiah says that he went to the people of God and said, "I told them of the hand of my God, which had been good upon me, and also of the king's words that he had spoken to me. So they said, they didn't say this part. I'm saying this part. On that foundation, let us rise up and build. And they set their hands to do the good work. Nehemiah knew he couldn't do it without God, the great and awesome God. He knew he couldn't do it without the favor, the resources, the protection, and the promises of God. There's a quote that I'll end with that says this: whatever you have not committed to prayer, you have basically said to God, I'll handle it myself. Whatever you have not committed to prayer, you have basically said to God, I'll handle this myself. Let's be a church that is willing to lay these stones in our foundation to build on. Do we want God's favor over grace of Christ? Then let's start with the foundation of prayer. Pray with me. Great and awesome God, we thank you and praise you and bless you and give you all the glory in this place. Prayer has always been a part of this church. And Lord, as you look at us now in this time of renewal and good things coming and all of the things that you're calling us to do and all of the places around this community, may we never forget to pray first. May we never forget to acknowledge who you are. May we never forget to put ourselves in a posture of receiving your love. May we never forget your word, your word. Rise up and build. Thank you for Nehemiah, his prayer, and all that he's taught us today. In your precious name, Jesus. Amen.